As I've noted several times on the show today, two of the suspected bombers in Brussels yesterday have been identified as brothers, Khalid and Ibrahim El-Bakrawi, both Belgian citizens. For me, living here in Boston, it's a reminder of the Tsarnaev brothers, who carried out the Marathon bombings here 3 years ago. It's not unusual to see family ties in terrorist groups, so says Mia Bloom. She's at Georgia State University.
There's definitely a pattern. If you think about the 19 hijackers on 9/11, six were brothers. And one of the things that Dr. John Horgan and I did several years ago after the Marathon bombing was to demonstrate that this phenomenon of having brothers or sisters or family members was something that was one of the things that the terrorist groups were doing with regularity. What they were now engaged in is that to ensure both operational secrecy, as well as to decrease the likelihood that, for instance, somebody might change their mind at the last minute, because not just that you didn't want to disappoint the organization, you wouldn't want to disappoint a member of your family, that we were seeing a lot of brothers and sisters. And so we saw it as well with the Kouachi brothers at Charlie Hebdo. Mm. We're seeing it now. But, you know, if you were to look at all terrorist activities in the last 25 years, at least 30% of the time, you're dealing with family members.
So you're saying ISIS, Al-Qaeda, all these groups, they're actively looking for brothers and sisters.
Well, one of the things that they do is they very often recruit family members together. This was, for example, one of the things that terrorist groups, whether it was the Chechens, the Black Widows, for example, or even in the Provisional IRA, a way to insulate against any kind of infiltration, you knew that if there was a member of your organization and a family member wanted to join, they were well vetted. But the other thing that we've seen is that, I guess in terms of the dynamic of the ways in which the operations are then carried out, you very often had teams, brothers and sisters teams, or even more recently, we've seen parents and their children. Now, ISIS has also recruited entire families. If you think about a husband and a wife leaving with five of their children from Bradford in the UK, there's a good chance that those children will be trained together, and at some point, they may be activated together. So ISIS, I think, because of the fact that they have had a family-oriented message, is even more likely to have families. So we will see this again in the future.
So what if there's no hard evidence of recruitment, like in the case of the Tsarnaev brothers in the Boston Marathon bombing? It's been suggested that the older brother, Tamerlan, dominated and influenced his younger brother, Johar. And that may have been a ploy by Johar's defense team. But, you know, how does the dynamic of an older and younger sibling kind of accelerate the growth of militancy within a family?
I mean, it could be that the older brother joins a movement or the older sister joins a movement first and pulls the family in, or that the older person is in there and they attain a certain amount of notoriety. The younger siblings view them as, you know, being a source of emulation and they want to follow in their footsteps. This is something we've seen. Whether or not there's coercion, again, remains to be seen. We don't have enough evidence. And like you say, this could also be something that is set in a court of law to mitigate Johar Tsarnaev's crimes.
So when we're talking suicide attacks, martyrdom obviously is the goal. Have you done any research on the impact of this on parents when brothers do this?
So we have a few different templates. You know, for the most part, Joyce Davis wrote a book called Martyrs many years ago. And I thought it was very interesting because some of the mothers, and these would have been of the Palestinian suicide bombers, did actually come forward and repudiate what their children had done. One of the mothers said that, "I think my son was actually mentally ill." By and large, there are huge societal pressures for the mothers not to repudiate. And so when you do have a mother come forward and say, "What my son did was wrong and I'm opposed to it," that's really something that is worth noticing and paying attention to. But on the other end of the spectrum, we also, among the Palestinians, had a woman like Maryam Farhat, who had three of her sons become suicide bombers. And of course, she used this to catapult herself into notoriety. She eventually ran for office on the Hamas ticket and was voted in. But I do think we have two completely diametrically opposing kinds of mothers.
Terrorism expert Mia Bloom at Georgia State University, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.